Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going well. I mean, we're talking on the 23rd, so Christmas is coming up, obviously, but doesn't feel like a normal Christmas season. So just kind of dealing with that, but doing our best to just get as much done as we can while there is still some quiet and all of that. How are things on your end?
Yeah, the same. It's been a really quiet week, which has been really nice. You know, we had kind of typical work stuff on Monday, Tuesday, a little bit less. We're recording this on Wednesday and basically did nothing today. Had a phone call in the morning. And so it's nice. I mean, I'm not taking any kind of formal vacation aside from Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. But yeah. I know that both weeks will just be really slow. So it's a nice way to just kind of coast a little bit, have some projects that I'm working on kind of in the background, a lot of stuff that we talked about in the last episode. So that's kind of taken up a fair amount of mental space more than actual time, but just kind of really strategizing about a lot of the things that are coming, which I think is a lot of what we'll talk about today.
Yeah. And I mean, it's actually a good sign for me because NBA just started yesterday and I didn't even like think about that just now today. That means it went pretty smoothly. So we're definitely at a spot where there's still a lot of work we want to do on the infrastructure, but each season that starts back up, we're having fewer and fewer issues come up. And so it's nice to have a season kick off without really all that much stress. But yeah, lots been going on. I know last time we were talking a bit about fundraising or loans or different options. And where are you at when it comes to that sort of path?
We're just kind of in the place with the business and the market and where we see it going, where we're looking to kind of accelerate our growth and put resources towards the business in some new directions, but also kind of doubling down on things that are working already. And we talked about like equity raising and debt. I think I know which direction we're going to go there, but I think really either way, like the point is, I think for both of us that we'll kind of be doing some hiring and even like refocusing the priorities of the company or of like groups within the company. And I feel like that is maybe the thing that I am mulling over more than anything else is just like, oh, wow, if we're kind of like not pivoting, but like focusing on this area more, like what does that mean to, you know, existing customers and how we're working already and the people that we have on the team already and things like that. So that's kind of just been taking up a lot of mental space. And I think part of that is that maybe it's a good thing that I can't do anything right now because it's the end of the year. And I know that like if I put out a job rec today, no one would apply. So I have to just sit on my hands for 2 weeks. Because like we have a job rec on the site and I just haven't put it up on WeWork remotely or anything because I know no one would apply. So that's all just kind of the interesting like dynamic and kind of mental game I have to play, I guess.
What are the questions you have around that?
So like one is we're going to hire a salesperson. So we had a salesperson at Podcast Motor before and it was wonderful. Chris Post was the guy and he was like former like digital marketing agency owner who kind of sold his agency to his partner and went and traveled the world for a couple of years and then wanted to come back and get in the business. And so like, it was awesome having like a business owner as a salesperson. Like they just totally get the whole kind of like company stack. And then COVID hit, all our leads dried up for like 2 months and he was like, I'm going to go do something else. So that was really sad. But yeah, definitely hiring a salesperson for this, for like the production service, as well as like selling to larger companies or, you know, brands, I guess, for private podcasting and internal company podcasting. So yeah, castos.com/careers. If anybody's interested, the job posting will be there. And I mean, sales is a interesting thing to hire for because it's not just the, you know, the qualifications and the type of person and stuff, but then like comp and bonus and plan and all of this stuff. Plus like how they're working, you know, like they're working with inbound leads. That's great. What are we going to do about outbound? Are we going to do outbound? You know, where and how? And like, it's really different than I almost feel like if you're a marketer, hiring a marketer or even a developer or designer, I want to say like the supply side is already there, right? Like we both have years worth of backlog for us to work through. And it's just a matter of doing that. I think for a salesperson, especially in an organization like ours, that's really small, it's like, there are no processes around this. There is no decision about what we're going to do. There's very little even in terms of like what a package looks like, you know, and there's a lot of questions about one-off and custom deals. And so like, it's just a lot of that, like, we're going to bring somebody in, like, how are we going to pay them? What are they going to be doing all day? until they get ramped up? How am I going to help them ramp up? You know, what kind of person do we need? Because I think that's another big one with sales is like, do you want someone who's more like a consultant that you might not pay them any commission at all, but pay them a higher salary? Or do you want someone that's like a shark that just goes out and gets a ton of business? And there's definitely pluses and minuses to both of those. So yeah, just some of those kind of things, I guess.
How much of that do you plan to have? Obviously the comp and that kind of thing, it's on you, but for figuring out the onboarding, for figuring out the playbooks and figuring out like the what they're going to be doing each day, is that something where you want to have a lot of that figured out before they come in? Or are you looking for someone more senior who can help build the role themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think the lie that we tell ourselves is like, oh, we can just hire someone in and they can come in and figure it all out. But like, I think that's very unlikely. There are a lot of questions that even a senior like Chris was a really senior guy. And he came in with a bunch of questions that I didn't have answers to. So maybe now I have more answers than I would have before. But we're also kind of like selling this other thing now that has very little kind of precedence to it. So yeah, I plan on in the next month that it takes through to go through the hiring process, laying out a lot of this stuff, because I don't think the person exists that can come in and like create the whole sales structure. Like that's a sales manager and we just can't afford that. We want someone to actually go do the selling. So I have to be the sales manager.
That makes sense.
And it's like that high value stuff that we talk about, right? Like we have to do it once and revisit it maybe in 6 months. But you know, for now, let's say it's great. And if this person comes to me and says, this isn't great, like this is broken, then we can evaluate it. But I think getting like some frameworks and some SOPs and just some process and kind of ideas about how we're going to work so they come in and feel like it's not just an empty room, you know?
In a past life, you were in sales yourself, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you feel well equipped to be the sales manager right now? Like because of that and because of other experiences you've had, or how are you feeling as you approach that role?
Yeah, I do feel, you know, I think a lot more qualified than a lot of people in the SaaS space, especially, you know, there's a lot of technical founders that have serious aversions to salespeople, and to totally get that. But yeah, I mean, I think my sales background bodes well. I never was in sales management, but kind of know how I want to be treated as a salesperson. So I think just trying to frame things in that respect.
Yeah, because I think that's the important part when figuring out what kind of person or even what sort of role you're hiring for. When you have the ability, or at least like on some level, like you weren't a sales manager yourself, but you were in sales, you get what makes that role work, and you've worked with enough managers to get really that process. Like it would be kind of crazy to have someone come in and try to do it themselves when you have all the context and the ability to build that role out. Those areas where you don't have as much experience is where it gets a lot harder.
It's like you with like hiring a marketing person, right? Like you will do a lot for them by kind of setting them up for success, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the hires that we're definitely looking at as we get further along. And I don't even want to call it a fundraising process, because where we're at is we're profitable, but there's definitely some hires we could make that we think would get us to that next inflection point of really getting me out of the day-to-day weeds more and Matt more into his highest value areas, which is working on the models. And we think just like opening that up would be massive for the business, but we're not fundraising. We're not like actively going about this path. We're really just, there's a couple partners, I guess you'd say, in mind that would be good fits for this. And if we think we can find something that works for everyone involved, we'll go forward there. And if not, we'll just keep doing what we're doing now. We're moving along in those conversations. And as we're planning, what would we do if this investment does close? Marketing is one of the question marks, because I think on the engineering side, we have some good leads. I've already had some conversations with people who can help on the back end. On the kind of data analyst side, we've got someone who just started working part-time for us in December that we think we could transition that into a full-time role. But the marketing is one where like I've just held on to this for a long time. We've put all the resources back into engineering, which I think makes sense in a lot of cases. We finally did hire that support person to help out there and in a lot of other areas a few months back, and that's been great. But it's like the marketing is just, yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to do there, because it's, I will be able to build out, I think, a good playbook. I'm more just like, this is the first time I've hired someone to do things that I think I do very well. Like, I think I'm good at support and success and that kind of thing, but I don't like identify in that position. So it's not as like, as much of a, I'm not like fighting giving that up. Whereas on the marketing side, I just think I'm going to be super critical of anyone coming in. And I just don't know what that's going to look like and how to just accept that. One, there are multiple ways to do something. It's not as though my way is the only correct way, but also just accepting that it's not necessarily going to be what I want, or even the quality that I would be able to do myself in all cases. And I guess just accepting that.
Part of that is like kind of framing the type of person that you want to hire, like what their strengths and background and kind of experience are or is. Have you kind of thought about that? Like, what is your ideal hire? What do they look like?
A bit. I mean, I think what I want is, we had a ton of success with this support hire because we hired a customer and they wanted to work with us, and they knew the business, they knew the space, they knew the product, they didn't need much onboarding. There's obviously like small details that like we needed to, and like quirks in a product that they weren't familiar with and all that, but like they got it from day one for the most part. And that's where I'm planning to go for this role. And if I can't find someone there, I'm probably just going to punt that decision for a while, because I just see how valuable it is when someone can come into a role and just have so much context on the space and everything else. And especially when we take more of a direct response marketing route, where we're not thinking about like, all of our emails, everything is very personalized. It comes from me or someone from the team. And like, it's written like a normal email. It's not kind of a mass approach. Like, we need that personal touch, and the people coming into this role need to know, like need to be able to connect with our customers and just get that sort of look and feel of what we're going for. And so I think I would just have to do too much on the management side if I was someone who I just like had to train on what daily fantasy sports are, what this is, like why people care about that. Like, I just don't want to do that right now. Maybe that's like part laziness, but it's just like, I'm going to go to the well first and see what we can find there. I'm optimistic that I can find, I am looking for someone hungry, not necessarily young, but someone I'm fine with, someone junior, someone who really wants to learn. And I think if I find that person, it will make it so that I can be more of an editor, and I won't even be like annoyed about it. I won't be like, oh, like you should have gotten this right. It's like, I want someone who's early in their career, but is passionate about the space, about our company, wants to learn. And then it's like, all right, like get those first, like if someone can just get the first drafts off of my plate for not even just actually writing, but oftentimes writing, then that is a huge value add, because it sucks up so much of my time. And then if they can get me that, I can do the edits, so I can point them in the right direction. And if they're willing to learn and adapt and show that they're doing that, that's the kind of person that we're really looking for in that role. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And the reason I ask is, you know, kind of having hindsight with like going through the process of hiring Denise, and for folks who haven't heard that story, like that was most of what the Tiny Seed Tales kind of series with Rob was about, was kind of us joining Tiny Seed and using that money to hire a full-time marketer. Is I hadn't really thought of like what their strengths and background would be, because we wanted them to be, you know, our job spec was for a full stack marketer, right? And that's like, you know, jack of all trades kind of thing, which doesn't exist. And so now if I was hiring a marketing person, I know much more specifically about like what's working for us and what I want that person to have a really strong kind of background in. And the other part you nailed on the head is like, you need somebody that knows everything about your industry. And that was the one thing that I think was not as strong as it could have been, was that Denise had not been a podcaster before. And so didn't know, like really know, like in your heart, what the good and the bad and the troubles and all this stuff are. And you can certainly learn, like, she was very smart and learned all that stuff really quickly. But like, that's just another learning curve that you have to get over. So I love the idea of going to your customer base. And it sounds like you have enough customers to where that, and I would guess like the type of customers you have a lot of like kind of digitally savvy people that could fit this mold, even if they don't have a marketing background, right? Like that.
Right. And I think
that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that I can find someone there, because I mean, it was really cool when we put out the support job posting where a lot of people reached out. They weren't looking to become a support person. They wanted to work with us.
That's awesome.
And so we had a huge range in candidates. And like one of them is currently like a computer engineering student at UCLA and had built like a basic version of our tool as a side project for himself and all of this. And it's just like, all right, like we want to work with this guy, but support's not the right fit for you. So we actually like have him as a paid intern now. And it's just like having people who like deeply care and have a passion for the industry. Mm-hmm. It's just the last few months of getting a few of those people on our team. It's just so obvious how important that is. And I now get more why it's so important that a founder can really, if the space isn't even the most exciting, it's like you have to sell the vision for the company and really get people excited about the mission that you're after and all of that, because it gets a very different kind of person when they are excited to join the team. Like it's mm-hmm. not just a job to them. You get wildly better results, in my opinion. It takes less management. People are more motivated to kind of figure things out on their own. It's just made the point a lot clearer to me that of how important that is. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see. It's still early days. Still got to get a ton of these projects wrapped up before I can think about bringing more people on the team. What general timeline are you thinking for potentially raising money in some way, for then using that to make some hires? What does that look like as you close out this year? What did the next kind of few months, the first few months of 2021 look like?
Kind of going down the path that we're going to be going down, I kind of break it into two phases or buckets. One are things that like we can afford to do today. And so we've already started down that path. You know, one is like, you know, we've been a profitable business, so we have some money in the bank. We're spending some of it, kind of plus or minus then having more resources to allocate towards this. Then we will do kind of the phase two, which is like hiring some more people. So we've definitely started some of this already. And one of them has been to engage an agency, like an SDR agency. So SDR, I don't even know what SDR stands for.
But sales development rep?
Sales development rep. Thank you. This is one where like my sales experience, like these terms didn't exist. It was like sales rep and sales manager. And we didn't have all these BDRs and SDRs and AEs and stuff. Yeah. So we're using an agency called Retriever, retriever.co. So far, like very highly recommended. Like the experience with them has been excellent so far. And they are kind of responsible for drumming up demand for us, because I think that's one of the hard things that we're looking at. Like in the private podcasting space, it's not like a lot of people are going out searching for it yet because it's so new. So doing kind of proactive outbound for that is the path we're choosing to take. So they are an agency that does this all day, every day. And so for kind of speed of execution, you know, from like my first email to them starting to actually do work for us was like less than a week. So that was really cool. Like as opposed to putting in a job rec and doing a shit ton of interviews and all this kind of stuff. Like it's about what we would pay somebody anyhow, and they're effective already. So that's been cool. And then the other part is kind of on the development side, without giving away the secret sauce, we are kind of developing some things outside of our core competency. And so have been interviewing and talking with development agencies and developers about helping us with this. And that is just kind of getting stuff ready to hopefully start, you know, January 4th. So here recording this on December 23rd, have done a lot of work in the last 2 weeks about that to kind of identify and refine both like the product stuff and the customer avatar stuff, and like how we present this to people that we want to be involved in the company, you know, whether it's equity or debt or whatever. is like refining that message, having to refine that message for all these various different reasons, I've found to be hugely beneficial. Putting together things like a slide deck and a product spec, you know, all at the same time and all kind of about the same thing has been a really good exercise. That's kind of the first phase that we're going down. And it's like, if we get to the second phase, it'll just be a lot more of the same thing, to be honest. But that's kind of where things are.
As a quick aside, I'm curious, when you're working with the SDR agency, are you just handling the leads that they're generating right now?
Yep. So their job is to get a call booked. And so they do everything up to, you know, sending the Calendly link to these folks. Yep.
So is the plan, going back to what you're talking about, kind of figuring out the SOPs and everything for the salesperson, that's basically what you're doing. Like, you're doing this yourself right now until you get a better feel of what works, what doesn't, and really that process.
Yeah. So I think the goal will be to continue with this agency for them to be the demand side, demand generation side. And then, you know, between that, some organic inbound that we have for like the private and corporate podcasting stuff and for, you know, Castos Productions, like our editing service, that a sales rep could be busy, you know, by the time they would get ramped up by, you know, realistically, that's like the middle of February at this point at the earliest. So that's kind of the plan, is that I'll be the sales rep until that time. And then I think that the good sales model is like, there is a person that goes and gets leads, and then there is a person that closes and transitions and onboards those leads. And maybe even that last part, that onboarding thing, is somebody else, like a customer success person. But I'm not exactly sure. I've been reading a lot of Stelly's stuff about how to organize sales teams, because, yeah, especially like when you're onboarding someone into a product, and I think we ran into this a little bit with Chris, is that there was this gap of like, he would handle inbound leads because we have a lot of inbound for you know, Podcast Motor or Castos Productions. He would sell them, and then there's implementation and that handoff. And that was weak before. And like, we can't have that be weak anymore. So that's, you know, something else to think about, is like, what is that onboarding process of a, you know, a higher tier customer or an enterprise customer? Because it's not like our $19 a month customer.
As you're going through this, I'm guessing you're handing it off effectively to yourself right now. Like, you're going to be that person onboarding. Mm-hmm. And then there's still a lot to figure out, obviously, but is the goal to just have a sales rep who could at least fill both for now, and then you see if that works, or are you, is it too early to even know what you're looking for there?
I don't know what the plan would be. You know, part of me says that Matt Medeiros on our team would be good. Like, his job is customer success, and he's worked in enterprise sales before. So a lot of me says that would be a good fit. It would be taking him away from other kind of more marketing things that he's doing. But it definitely needs to be kind of going back to like knowing the space and knowing the problem that we're solving. Like, it needs to be somebody that really gets this stuff really well, because we're selling a really, I'm going to say intricate solution, but you know, it's not something that's super obvious in some ways. So like, somebody needs to really understand what the customer is trying to get out of this. I don't know the implementation side of things at this point.
Yeah. To that point about talking with Matt about that role, it seems like, to me, it's very important that the marketer gets the space and really understands the context and all of that. But it's less, I don't even know how to phrase it, but it's like, it's not in real time. They're not typically communicating in real time with prospects. Mm, mm-hmm. So you have more of an opportunity to massage the message with them and like dial it in. And it's something where a lot of these assets that marketers are creating are going to be reused. They don't have to get it perfect, because there's still, you can come in and help get it there. Whereas in like a real-time conversation with a prospect, you don't really have that opportunity. The salesperson just kind of has to get it. So it seems almost even more important in this role. Do you agree?
To a point, I guess. Okay. Yeah, to a point, because I mean, just thinking about my experiences so far, there have been a fair number of instances where like you know, we need to clarify things with a customer or set expectations or clarify those, not on the phone, but like definitely same day, you know, and like, and actually I'm thinking back to, you know, again, like working with this agency, Retriever, the SDR agency, like our onboarding call was four people from their team. So it was the sales rep that I talked to get started, what I assume is like an account manager, and then a more kind of technical in the weeds person, and then like an administrator that was kind of taking notes and organizing next steps and stuff. And that's like a really robust system. And I think that that's where we want to get ultimately. Okay. And I think that the logic is kind of going back to sales. It's like, you don't want the person who's going and getting the leads also to be the person that's closing the leads, and also to be the person that then is kind of nurturing and being the success person for them longer term. Just because then like their focus and their energy is not on one thing, it's on three things. And that just, that you can't do your best work at any one of those if all three are quote important. And so I think ideally it's three different people. You know, there's the SDR or the BDR, like I don't know what the difference is between the person that gets leads or handles that first inbound lead to qualify somebody. There's the sales rep or the account executive that does the, you know, contract negotiations and the phone calls and all this kind of stuff. And then they get handed over very smoothly to a success person that is able to get the person set up, checks in with them, you know, quarterly review calls, whatever that needs to be. Like, I think that's the model. And so we just need to get there. And if you're selling enterprise level and in like the price is justified, then that third person is like, you know, in the budget. It's just a matter of kind of getting that machine ramped up to where you're closing enough deals to be able to justify it, I guess.
Right. Because that's where getting extra cash is massive, because
you can pretend like you're big before you are.
And you get the systems in place pretty much from the beginning so that you're not dropping the ball. You're refining the processes, but you're not spreading any one person too thin. And yeah, there might be some bottlenecks and maybe not enough leads are coming through to make everyone fully efficient, but like you don't need them to be right away because you're able to burn for a bit while you figure this out. Whereas if you're doing it fully bootstrap, there's going to be a ton of hair on fire moments where one person is just doing everything. They're probably not doing it that well. It's tough. And yeah, that's where it just seems like having that extra buffer lets you make these hires earlier on and figure out the systems that really can scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to go back to your marketing hire because I think this will be a super interesting thing to follow just because like I was subjected to it with Rob in the tiny detail stuff. It's like one of the things I think that is kind of hard to see with a marketing person or a salesperson is like they're so good like on the phone and in email and stuff that like it's tough to tell exactly like what somebody's all about or like what their skills really are. As opposed to like you're a developer, like they can write an email or they can't. And like, that's really much more binary. Like, do you have any thoughts or like concerns around like interviewing and like what the interview process might be for this? Like you go to your customer list and that's great. And then you get applicants. And then like, what from there, like, how do you find that person that's like young and hungry, but maybe isn't as experienced, but really wants to learn like from an interviewing process standpoint?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've thought about is it's what Len did at Groove when I was hired. I don't even remember if there was an application. I forget how it originally was, but like the ultimate thing was put together a plan for like how you would grow the company. And then that I think shows it's open-ended, but I want someone who at least can think beyond just the tactics. I guess if I'm hiring someone junior though, that might be like too big of an ask. What I think I need to focus on is I just want someone who thinks, again, just beyond the tactics of just saying like, oh, let's do Facebook marketing or, oh, let's publish more on YouTube. Let's do this. It's like, I want them to like see the big picture and at least be like thinking about that. And just that's, especially on this, but just in general, those are the qualities that I value the most is someone that can truly, they don't need to think like huge picture, but I just don't want people who are used to going through the motions for the motion's sake. Like I want someone who's questioning why things are happening in a certain way, if there's better ways to do things, what we're ultimately trying to accomplish, all of that. And so to me, it's I almost care. Sure, I want to know what their experience is and what they've done, but I care a lot more about how they think. And yeah, I don't honestly know of a great way to try to narrow down on that, but that's at least in these early stages where I'm at. I mean, I think honestly, like, say we close this deal early January, I think we'll move very quickly on conversations with an analyst, on getting an analyst full time, on getting someone in on the back end. The marketer, I think, is just going to be slower because I have to think through these things. But I think it could be interesting. I think I'm probably going to do some screening up front, like I talked about. And then I could see just having even them shadow me a bit. Like, as we get ready for maybe baseball season, talk about just how I think and what we're trying to work on, and then hand off some tasks here and there along the way. But yeah, honestly, I don't really know. Do any of those rambles seem like they could be on the right track?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think I just have some more thoughts about it. I don't have any answers. Yeah. So one thing I like is this concept of like a trial period or a test project, like a paid, you know, official, you're on board, but this is just, you know, some finite period of time we're going to work on this thing. And then we're both going to evaluate, like, is this good? Is this what I want to do? We're doing it right now with a WordPress developer. So we're hiring a WordPress developer to take that responsibility off of Jonathan's plate so he can focus on, you know, higher level stuff. We went through like the whole kind of formal interview process and then have two final people that we're bringing on for, like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks probably to do some bugs and small features on the plugin. So I don't know how much of that you could do with a marketing person. I think it depends a lot on like what somebody is doing already and like if they have extra time and kind of flexibility from a work perspective. But there's just nothing like actually seeing someone's work, you know, that to really prove whether that's what you're looking for or not.
The test project has been huge for all of our hiring. It's still something we're always refining. Like, I think we just hired a designer as a contractor. They're going to kind of go through all of the screens, get those cleaned up, and then we hope to continue working with them and get them more involved just in feature development down the road. But it's like, yeah, we narrow things down, hire a few people, pay them to just say like, okay, take 12 hours maximum. And just, here's the brief. Ask me any questions you want. And then let's see what you can get for this screen. And then talk me through it so I can see why you made those decisions. And we've had like similar projects out in development and other areas to really get a feel for people. The marketing one right now, it's just, I just need to get a lot clearer on what this person would actually do. And I'm feeling the pain in the sense that I know there's a lot of, not even just lower value, but I guess it's not my... There's a lot of things I spend my time on in marketing that aren't my highest value uses of my time. And I don't quite know if it is like a true marketer that needs to do those things. If it's almost like more like a marketing assistant who can just go and set things up. I just don't even really know what exactly I need. And so I think that's obviously the first step. But then it's figuring out a way to do some trial period. And I think in marketing, it often can be easier to find someone willing to do some part-time work for an extended period of time. And so I think that's probably the route we'll go. But yeah, it's just, as I'm talking through this, I realize just how much more clarity I need on what this actual role would look like.
Yeah. So for your holiday downtime reading, you need to look at the book, Who Not How, Dan Sullivan. It talks about, you know, basically like as the CEO or the founder, you are not the best person to do anything, right? Because like your job is like to keep money in the bank and to have the vision. And I think like I'm just about halfway through it right now, but it is really kind of like empowering to say like, yeah, you should have an absolute rock star doing everything basically, because they're going to do it better than you can and they'll have time and kind of mental energy to kind of focus on these things. And I think about this for you specifically because you have strong opinions about marketing, is that maybe there's stuff that you think isn't worth the time, but it's colored by your experience with it in the past in a different market or something. And someone else would come in and say, yeah, but you haven't tried this. And I swear this is going to work. And they try it and they're happy about doing it. And it might really work. It just made me think of that with like kind of how you're thinking about hiring a marketing person is like, maybe it's a bigger hire than you're thinking, you know?
Yeah. That's where there's that balance where it's, I'm sure getting other perspectives in there would be valuable to the business. Ego-wise, I think it'd be difficult for me to give that up right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's an earned thing though, right? Like that person's not going to have your trust on the first day.
Right. I do think I am looking for someone who can grow into that role and really take a lot of ownership there. But yeah, I'll check out that book and do some thinking. I mean, it sounds like we've both got a lot to think about and just kind of plan out over these next couple of weeks as we close out the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. I think I'm happy for both of us and excited. I think, yeah, we have a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of strategy to put in place before all this is done. But I think, yeah, 2021 hopefully be better than 2020. certainly can't get a lot worse, but we're all really lucky to be in the place we are after this year. There's a lot of pain out there, and I think we're all very fortunate.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's where it's being able to take the time and think through these types of things without, obviously with COVID, there's so many health concerns, so many just really horrible situations out there. But even beyond that, I mean, we're very fortunate to be in the positions we are in. And I think we can at least reflect on that a bit as well as we close out this year.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. And for everyone out there, I know this will be going on after the holidays actually happened, but I hope everyone had a happy holidays. Everyone is safe and healthy. Got to spend some time with family and loved ones. And we'll be back in 2021.
Perfect. And I mean, this will be out in 21, I'm sure anyways. So we'll keep going on with that. And yeah, I think we'll have some great updates in the future episodes. There's a lot in the motion here.